What is up, you guys? Welcome to another edition of Controversial Thoughts. These are my weekly installment of soliloquizing, monologuing, my personal carnivore MD, controversial thoughts about all sorts of things. We continue to be having Costa Rica editions. This is the Where in the World is Paul Saladino edition of Controversial Thoughts. It's been going on for quite some time now. For a while, it was Africa, Tanzania. Most recently, it's been Costa Rica, where I've been enjoying the sun and the surf and loving life in general, eating tons of meat and organs, meat cleansing, quote unquote, hashtag meat cleanse, if you saw that on social media. I have had an eventful week. I did a podcast with Stephen Gundry for my podcast, A Friendly Debate. That will be out next week. I did a friendly debate, which got spicy at times, with Joel Fuhrman, very well-known plant-based vegan, who will be that will be released the following week. So stay tuned for those. We have some super exciting stuff happening at Heart and Soil. We had recently the release of Bone Matrix, and we have the skin, hair, and nail supplement coming next week. So check us out at Heart and Soil if you need more organs in your diet and reclaim your ancestral birthright to radical health, my people. So if you like my podcast, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. I give away a free signed copy of my book every month as a thank you to someone for that. It's how we spread the message of animal-based nutrition and vitality for our families, our brothers and sisters, our children, everyone. I've gotten a lot of requests to do another video about the COVID vaccine, so I wanted to talk more about COVID. It just doesn't go away, this COVID thing. It just doesn't go away. I don't know what to say about it, but we'll talk about it in this video. So if you've seen my Instagram this week, or the last couple of weeks, you will know that I've been a little bit dismayed by many of the pictures I have seen with where our society is going. So this one is pretty scary. Oh my goodness, this is the future of our children. And others in general have been quite provocative. So we also see hikers doing this sort of thing, hiking in bubbles. These are real photos, you guys. These are not fake pictures, as far as I can tell. And this one, kids in band practice in these isolated bubbles. So this type of thing really bothers me and gets me thinking, like, why are we imagining that this is the course that we need to take with regard to coronavirus? And this has really been my perspective and my message throughout the pandemic. Look, this is a virus. It's a new virus for our population. We're trying to figure out where the heck it came from. We're not totally sure. Joe just had somebody on his podcast who thinks there's a large amount of evidence that it's not from animal transmission, that it's probably a lab leak. I think that the evidence there it's compelling, to say the least. And that was something I talked about months and months ago, that if you look at the case series in the beginning from Wuhan, it's not clear that everybody in the beginning that had it was at the fish market. So we don't actually know where COVID came from. It's a virus that's killed a lot of people, which is incredibly tragic. It's especially been hard on those that are obese, metabolically dysfunctional, and that's an elderly, which goes along with metabolic dysfunction. This has been my message throughout COVID, that if you want to be most prepared to have your immune system and your body deal with this virus when you get it, think about your overall health. Think about your metabolic health. You guys have heard this time and time again, and you all know that the way that I think that you can become most metabolically healthy is to avoid the things that create metabolic dysfunction. Now, we can debate these up and down, but I'm pretty sure it's not animal products. Joel Fuhrman would argue with me, but I had a good debate with him today. I think it's animal meat and organs that should be at the center of our diet. If you can't get fresh organs, get desiccated organs like we make at Heart and Soil. Get rid of those seed oils. I've done so many podcasts about the potential underlying mechanisms of seed oils and their triggering of metabolic dysfunction and inflammatory disorders. And then furthermore, obviously cut out processed sugar. And what the heck is the role of processed carbohydrates in your diet? Why are you having those? Now, as many of you know who have followed me recently, I am not dogmatic about completely eliminating regular carbohydrates in the form of seasonal fruit and honey. And neither are our hunter-gatherer ancestors like the Hadza that I just spent a bunch of time with. I've done many podcasts about that, trying to sort of counteract the fructose reductionist thinking. You can see my previous podcast on honey and if it's really the same as sugar. And then also the same question that gets asked, is salt all the same? And so with regard to COVID, those have been my thoughts throughout. Never have I claimed that a carnivore diet will cure COVID or prevent you from getting it. But I do think that if you eat an animal-based diet and you avoid those things that I think are most triggering, and you are overall healthy. And if you have an autoimmune disease, you dig into what is triggering that autoimmune disease. Many of the things may be plants, and Dr. Stephen Gundry and I agreed on this, lectins, even aquaporin, as you'll hear in the podcast, oxalates. There are many plant toxins that I think can trigger autoimmunity in some people. So understand what's triggering your immune system. Is it these plants with their toxins? Not all plants are completely bad. I eat fruit sometimes, especially when I'm here. I think it's one of the least toxic plant foods. And I've gotten more and more excited about animal-based diets rather than strictly dogmatic carnivore diets, though I think it's a very powerful intervention tool, perhaps a cleanse or a carnivore reset, and then bringing back in the least toxic plant foods. I've got lots of videos on all that other stuff, guys. You can find them in my library. It's all there for you. But when we're thinking about COVID, I do strongly believe that if you are metabolically healthy, there is a much higher chance you're going to be fine. If you guys follow my work, you know that I had coronavirus. I had COVID. It was very mild. And I actually didn't even know I had it till I had a rapid test after I'd had symptoms of mild congestion and cough for 2 to 3 days. Then they basically went away and I lost my taste and smell for a week. And I thought I should get a test. I had a rapid antigen test. It was positive. Subsequently, I've had multiple negative PCR tests. I clearly had no problem with it. And I haven't had any long COVID symptoms. And I want to talk about long COVID and the vaccine specifically in this podcast. So many of you are asking, what do you think about the vaccine, Paul? That's kind of a loaded question. I mean, what does that mean? What do I think about the vaccine? But I'll tell you how I interpret that question and what I think about this. Would I get the vaccine? No. I've had COVID. My immune system has seen it. I did fine. I'm metabolically healthy. I don't see the need to get the vaccine. Does that mean I think there are downsides? Potentially, we don't know. We'll get into that in a moment. We're just asking questions. My parents have been vaccinated. So they got their first vaccine, and I am anxious to hear how they do with the second dose. A lot of people, many friends of mine who are young, have had pretty severe reactions to the second dose. Now, a lot of people get through their reactions to the second dose and don't have a problem with it. But nevertheless, there are many people having serious reactions to the second dose, and that worries me a little bit. We also don't know what the long-term effects of this vaccine are. It's an mRNA vaccine. We haven't used a lot of these in medicine. In fact, this might be the only one that I'm aware of. I don't think there's any other mRNA vaccines out there. But I think we need to guard ourselves against this sort of thinking. This is something I posted on Instagram. It's an article from USA Today. There's a woman in this article being quoted saying, weight isn't always within your control. Why some states are prioritizing obesity patients for the COVID-19 vaccine. Well, great. I think that maybe if you have people who are obese and clearly metabolically unhealthy, you probably should prioritize them for the vaccine. But I disagree with her statement that weight is not always within your control. There are a few very rare conditions, Prader-Willi, Cushing's syndrome, Cushing's disease, in which weight is not within your control, or you have a tumor or something, or a genetic problem, or a transposition of DNA, which causes hyperphagia, increased appetite. But for 99% of people or 98% of people, weight is within your control, and I want to give you the tools to control that. Now, interestingly, within this article, she says, the eat less, move more ideology did not work for me. And I thought, well, there you go, right? You're using the wrong ideology, and that's why it didn't work for you. Caloric restriction doesn't work when there's no attention to food quality being done. That's why I think organs are so valuable for humans, especially liver and heart and animal meat, but especially the organs. And the Hadza definitely eat those. That's where we get micronutrients, and that creates satiety and long-term overall health and vitality. You can't just eat less calories and try and move more. That's starvation. But if you eat the right types of food, you will have an easier time creating a caloric deficit. And calories in, calories out is nuanced, right? If you eat the right types of food, I believe there's good evidence that will affect your metabolism positively, and the calories in will affect the calories out. So all calories are not created equally, in my opinion, and that should be abundantly clear based on all of my discussions about linoleic acid and different types of fat molecules, all of which are technically fat, but all of which appear to have different effects on the body hormonally, et cetera. So what do I think about the COVID vaccine? I think it's definitely going to save lives in the short term. And that may be controversial to some of you, but that's what this is about, controversial thoughts. There are people who would be susceptible to severe COVID who will probably have a better immune response when they have the vaccine. Fair, totally think it's reasonable. What's the downside of the vaccine? There will be side effects, there will be reactions, and I will show you guys how to track those. And just giving someone a vaccine doesn't correct the underlying problem, which is metabolic dysfunction in most cases. And that is where I think the conversation goes off the rails. if we are using the vaccine as the only conversation without some discussion of what the long-term implications of this are and why these people are at risk in the first place, we are missing an opportunity to make major changes in our society and major changes in people around us. And this is what I fear is happening with the COVID vaccine, is we're saying, here's a Band-Aid. You're perhaps a little more protected against COVID. Some people are going to have symptoms, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, or side effects. Some people will die for sure from the vaccine, but it looks to be a small number now. And I'll show you guys that reporting, and we don't know exactly. But if you don't take that opportunity to say to someone, here's a vaccine, but you need to be metabolically healthy, and that's what this means, and this vaccine is not going to protect you against all of the other complications of metabolic health, diabetes, heart disease, heart attacks, stroke, cancer, dementia, etc. This is a Band-Aid. It's a lost opportunity to affect overall health. Now, people often retort, they often reply to me, but Paul, you even say yourself, 80 to 88% of people are metabolically unhealthy. I agree with you. Therefore, the vaccine might be a good Band-Aid, but we continue to miss the opportunity to make metabolic health the center of the conversation. That's what I'm about. I'm not saying a carnivore diet's gonna cure COVID. I'm not gonna say it's gonna prevent you from getting COVID. And I'm very interested in the unique cases of people who claim that they are, quote, healthy, but have had severe COVID. We should research those. In my experience, which is of course limited, I haven't been able to see all these cases. People throw this stuff around on social media. They say, I'm healthy and I had severe COVID. As you'll see, a lot of these people have underlying things that we don't often think of that perhaps made them more susceptible to either long COVID or severe COVID, overexercising, sleep deprivation. Perhaps they're not as metabolically healthy as they believe they are. Have they really had a visceral adipose level? Have they really had a fasting insulin? Just because you're not obese doesn't mean you're metabolically healthy. Do you really know how metabolically healthy you are? And as I've spoken about on social media, I think key tests to know this are fasting insulin connected with C-peptide, hsCRP, thyroid testing, right? Iron panels, a continuous glucose monitor from a company like NutriSense, a visceral adipose scan, either a DEXA or an MRI, like I spoke about with Sean O'Mara. If you do these things, you'll know if you're metabolically healthy. If you're obese, I'm sorry, there's really no indication that you have metabolic health. I fear that obesity is not coexistent with metabolic health in individuals. So if you're not obese, you may still not be as healthy as you believe. There are people who are tofi, thin outside, fat inside, T-O-F-I. I spoke about this with Sean O'Mara. That's where things like a visceral adipose scan really get to the underlying metabolic issues. And I wonder in people who claim to be healthy, if they have underlying issues they're not aware of, what's going on with COVID. But in general, I stand by my assertion that overall metabolic health will be your greatest lever toward preventing a severe COVID outcome. I want to show you guys what we look at, what I've been looking at in terms of COVID vaccine reactions. So there is a reporting on the CDC. It's called the VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reactions. You can go to this website. You can put in all the parameters you want to search. You can search for COVID-19 vaccine reactions. This is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting Systems. And the CDC is very clear about the fact that this is not verified, that a bunch of people could be going in there and putting in fake COVID data. We don't know, but this is all we have for vaccine reactions. Now, the flip side of the question is it possible there are a lot of vaccine reactions that are not reported? And generally with vaccines, my understanding is that yes, perhaps only a tenth or less percentage than that, less of a proportion than that of the actual reactions to vaccines are reported. So we can't really tell. But if you search this for COVID, you'll find that there were overall 25,072 total events now reported for the COVID vaccine, which, okay, how many people have gotten a COVID vaccination? Let's look here. Right now, 62 million, so a very small amount. And that's interesting. Okay, so it's a very small amount of people percentage, but are there people who are having reactions that are not reporting them? Perhaps. Really what I care about, and I think the ultimate thing will be the question of how bad are the very serious reactions from a COVID vaccination. I thought it was interesting. You can scroll down here and look at the actual reported deaths connected with COVID. Some of this will be very hard for us to sort out, but at this point, if we think about how many people are actually reporting the adverse effects versus how many people are actually experiencing them, the deaths are 974 reported for the COVID vaccination, 3.88% of the total, or perhaps even less, because if you look at the bottom, some of the statistics are a little bit confusing. So 974 reports of death from the COVID vaccination. So we wonder how accurate is that? And it brings me back to the original question. How do you feel about the COVID vaccination, Paul? I think it's a Band-Aid. My parents are 70 years old. They're going to get it. They've gotten the first dose. They're going to get the second dose. If they get the second dose and don't have a serious reaction and they're fine, I'm going to feel good about it because they're going to feel like they're more protected. I've tried my best to convince them this is how you should eat to be metabolically healthy. Include more meat in your diet, mom. It's good for your bones. There's so much evidence for that. Get more organs. They definitely take our supplements at Heart and Soil, my parents and my sister and my niece and nephew do. But for my parents, it makes them feel better. If my parents have a severe reaction, I'm going to feel really bad about the COVID vaccine. And it's going to highlight the fact that vaccines are unusual to our immune system. Have they helped people? Have they helped human society over the years? It appears to be yes, although it's complex in terms of the way they actually interact with our immune system and whether they're doing the proper things to pattern our immune system. But I think that, you know, I hope that, you know, no one, and these labels are so, I think, derogatory and so generalizing and unfair. I wouldn't consider myself to be anti-vaccines. I am pro-metabolic health. I am pro your health and your family's health. And I am anti things that are going to cause you and your family harm. And certainly there appear to be people who have bad reactions to vaccines, whether it's a COVID vaccine, a meningococcal vaccine, a flu vaccine, or whatever. And I think we need to have more awareness of this and more understanding of who's going to react badly to the vaccines. That's where I will leave it. So am I going to get vaccinated? No, I think it would be probably unfair. And I don't think the United States or any country should do vaccine passports or mandated vaccinations. I know Israel is trying that now, and it's a little scary. I've had COVID. I'm metabolically healthy. I'm pretty sure I have antibodies. I don't think I'm going to get the vaccine. I will pray. I will hope that my parents don't have a serious reaction to it. And I will continue to talk to them about the importance of metabolic health. So hopefully that helps. I'm a physician. I could never give medical advice. But I think that if you find yourself in the 12% of the population who are metabolically healthy, you may benefit a lot less from the vaccine than people who are in the 88% who are actually metabolically unhealthy, as I've spoken about before. So my perspective is we should be talking to the 88% who are metabolically unhealthy and say, this is a Band-Aid. You're scared of COVID because you're metabolically unhealthy. Now fix it. Okay. That's my thoughts on the vaccine, guys. This is the second video I've done on the vaccine. I want to talk about long COVID a moment. And this is a very interesting article in The Atlantic, thanks to the number of people that sent this to me. If you read this article, what you find is that a couple of things. The main woman in the story is a tragic one. So she was a runner, and they say she was very healthy. And it described her as exercising 2 hours a day. And so I thought, oh, is it possible that she was over-exercising? And that may have led to some immune compromise or changes in the way the immune system resolved inflammation, leading to her long COVID symptoms, which include muscle weakness, a lot of paresthesias, I believe, and what appeared to be postural orthostatic tachycardia symptoms, or POTS syndrome, dysautonomia. So one of the interesting things in this article from The Atlantic is that the researchers at a number of places have begun to connect the symptoms of long COVID, long haul COVID, with dysautonomia, which is fascinating. So they're working with dysautonomia protocols. This is your autonomic nervous system doesn't work. You have essentially postural orthostatic tachycardia symptoms. This is what our long COVID seems to look like. Now, what jumped out to me was, number one, this unfortunate, sad case of this woman who was young and ostensibly healthy, but was actually perhaps over-exercising, let's admit it, 2 hours a day of marathon training. It's probably not gonna put your immune system in the right state. And she gets long COVID, tragically, right? And the second point is that the symptoms of this look to be like dysautonomia. Now, I really believe that so many of these diseases in medicine, POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, AKA dysautonomia, have an autoimmune component. Now, Western medicine likes to say, oh, luck of the draw, your genetics don't interact well with the environment. What can you do about it? But I am very fascinated by the potential that things in our environment are triggering autoimmunity. I've seen it over and over and over with a broad spectrum of autoimmune diseases in the work I do with animal-based diets and carnivore diets. My own eczema resolved. That's an autoimmune. I've seen psoriasis and Sjogren's and lupus and autoimmune thyroid disease and autoimmune diseases down the line, inflammatory bowel diseases, all kinds of diseases. Depression, which in many ways is an autoimmune neuroinflammatory disease, resolved with dietary changes, the elimination of the most offensive foods, the most triggering plant foods. And you'll hear about that in the next podcast with Stephen Gundry, lectins, aquaporin is a lectin, triggering toxins in plants, and the seed oils and the processed sugars. That, I think, is the intervention that Western medicine is missing. There's not one mention in this article in The Atlantic about dietary change for these people with long COVID, but I would be so curious to see them go on some sort of elimination diet, whether it is a carnivore cleanse or an animal-based 30. We're going to do another one, guys, coming up in April. We're going to do another animal-based 30. Get ready. AB30.com. Or maybe it's animal-based30.com. I should know that. It's coming. But I would love to see more of these diseases in Western medicine treated with diet, treated with autoimmune dietary protocols. So I thought it was interesting. Dysautonomia looks a lot like an autoimmune disease to me. Is it going to hurt this woman or any of these people with long COVID to do more animal meat and organs, foods that have been evolutionary part of our diet, and less of the most offensive plants and less seed oils? I don't think so. And it might just be the key that people are looking for here. Maybe it's not, but I think that autoimmune disease is triggered by environment so often, and we should not ignore this possibility. Western medicine should not be blind to this and always knee-jerk for a drug or a pharmaceutical. So those are my controversial thoughts today, guys, on coronavirus, COVID-19, on the vaccine, on long COVID. I hope that's helpful. If you need anything, you can always email us, radicalhealth@heartandsoil.co. The team will take care of you. If you need more organs in your diet, more nutrients, more micronutrients, check us out, heartandsoil.co. We've got skin, hair, and nails coming next week. And I'm grateful to be able to do these videos. And as always, now I'm going to go skate and surf. Love you guys. Stay radical. Reclaim your ancestral birthright to radical health.